paid? From where do you afford to put gas in your car? Or where does Rick manage to make a rental payment? Where did Rod Ince get his money? He worked for. He was paid by. Granted, he may not have received a check written and signed and handed over from the Institute, but that's where the funding came, because all of the funding flowed through there. So you can look at it this way. I had no intention of getting this nitpicky, but I think we need to look. Jeff is not the only one that suffers. Because here comes the barrage that says, well, Ecker gets everything. They sure do, and they get the damn headache along with it. They didn't ask for it. They came here. Dorma had no intention of writing anything. She had written her whole soul life history for whatever she was going to do about writing into Sipapoo. Which has its own perfectly wonderful story, but I better get on with this one. Anybody who comes here, you see, if you had come here and taken a job down at Joe Blow's, Turner Tire, there would be no obligation on your part to do anything here. But that is not what Rod and Sandy Ince did. They came here. They wanted a place. They wanted to farm. It was perfectly wonderful. That's what he said he had been doing in Montana. The children were not in school. She was home teaching. You had people, a family on the verge, I'm sorry, of starving. They were hungry. And they came here in one small U-Haul truck. Now, I don't know a woman around that would really love living in that house. But it was a house. And it was absolutely free. All utilities, all phone bills. How many of you wouldn't like that? Plus a salary. Plus the children who were on the tractors were paid a man's wages because that was going through Rod. He said he was working 20 hours a week, period. That's all he intended to do. When he was told the children may not longer be on those tractors, and we will pay you, I mean, he was bringing in the bills. Approximately 6 months ago, the cost of running that farm on a personal basis went up $2,500 a month. None of you have that. What is this? And then one day the crowning blow came. The children graduated. There was a lovely pizza party. And many of you went to the pizza party and made a contribution because this was expensive. And guess what? The bill with the receipts were turned in to Kathy to pay. Was a good day. And I feel to just say these things. I don't like your place, because living in your place and experiencing just this limited amount in your place hurts me. It hurts me. I don't want Jeff to feel responsible or any of you to feel responsible. I don't want to hurt them. And yet to try not to hurt them, we went 3 months too long. And we still didn't want to hurt them. And other ones can go out and say, see, they're just in there bashing. What in the world do you want me to do? I don't know what to do. If I allow this to happen over here, look how it falls over here. Does everybody think EJ loves to have to figure out a way to meet the bills? And then to find they've just laughed at you and taken the very survival things you'd put aside. I'm sure that he felt justified. Do not misunderstand me. I'm sure he had to have felt justified. But Jeff, listen to what has gone on. You don't have to ask me. And the reason that you asked me was because you knew something is wrong about it. And nobody wants you to take sides. There aren't sides. They're simply right and wrong. And humans respond or react to whatever their given circumstances. I don't like losing these children. I would like for him to call up on the telephone and say, "Hey, I'm going to bring all the stuff back. Couldn't we work it out?" This is hard. And yet it gets bigger each time, you see. It gets bigger each time. And more ones are put into a position of exactly where Jeff sits. And being a bit glad that, well, I'm glad I'm not a part of that, and I'm glad I wasn't a part of that, and I'm glad I didn't do anything. But you can't sit the middle of the fence forever. And I can tell you this, if he deliberately took one thing, knowing it's wrong. And right there, you can draw your line. And I know it's hard because you'll sit there and say, "Well, I'm sure that Eckers don't always just do the right thing." They sure don't. But they haven't asked you to take sides. And I'm not asking you to take sides, other than be sure that what you protect is worthy of it. You are doing a beautiful job. And you don't have to take sides. Just do your job. I can take the testing, people. We can all take it. We're not always going to be perfect. That's for God. And I feel better. I don't know if Jeff does. But we've been working up, and this is as much for today as any reason that I came down here. We don't have a cult here. And that means that we're all fragments. And yet, if one member of our little family is in trouble, we're all in trouble, aren't we? And that's another thing we have to remember. If something is hurting us, we better check it out, find out what it is, and confront it. And then it isn't that one's truth versus this one's truth. You see, I feel a little bit like Solomon in, "Well, this great wisdom will just whack the baby in half. You take the feet and you take the head." I can't do that. Because right in this room are the most supportive people monetarily to this whole cause that for the moment we'll call mine. And I am so grateful that when anybody abuses the use of their trust in us to run things properly, I'm incensed. And yet there are ones out there who don't come to this room who say, what the hell is going on that you let something like this go? And that's what I'm about. If you want your souls massaged, go over to the local cult. I have business to do, and if you are going to survive, I'm not talking about make it happily ever after. I am talking about surviving with something to eat, something to wear, something to shelter you, and some projects. We have to do it right. And after all these years, you can see that we are still here. Our enemies have tried everything from the FBI to the CIA to stop us. They have tried shooting. They have killed my scribe 5 times since she moved here. Does everybody hear me? Near death is not even interesting anymore. And the last time she said, up yours, Buster. And they're after it again. This week they want to shut me down. And this time, once again, they've done this once before. They're doing it again. They are threatening the family. Why? Just because EJ's children, who haven't seen him, he has a grandchild he's never laid eyes on, wanted to come here for one day after Thanksgiving. And they plugged into every electronic device. They have the registration of these children in San Diego, where they're going first. I can't even let him go in that airplane just to meet them. They're just waiting. They're just waiting. And you see, people are not very smart, but it doesn't really matter. These plans were talked about. I mean, this is family. His family. And I know that unless you're caught into it, you don't understand the seriousness of it. It's not a game anymore. They have lasered out the windows up at the house. They've shot out the truck windows. They've tried to ignite the fuel tank in the back. They tried, for goodness sakes, at Thanksgiving to crash a plane into the damn house. A lot of you were there. And the stories sound pretty good. But it's like talking about truth, Jeff. Just hang in there because it'll come back. You see ones on the communications desk at Vandenberg Air Force Base on the 29th of October, 1987, were there. And now they're writing to me. Well, yes, we were chasing drones around with heat-seeking missiles. Well, yes, we had to abort a launch or two. But what are you telling me? Well, there were 6 missiles. One was a radio control missile. It went. 2 of them we destroyed in space. 1 we disabled. This was the first one in the big show. And we told them to disarm. They didn't disarm. They just put up another missile. So we just knocked it out on the path. Now they're going to launch another one. And they would have blown up the entire western United States with that one. They didn't know when they blew it up whether it was nuclear armed or not. Just because we had knocked out the other warhead didn't mean that not only were you going to have a crash, but it was going to crash right into Diablo nuclear power plant. This is how much they love you. Well, I'm sorry. I'm weary of having to fight on the level of these personal little interchanges. I don't want to do anything to raw dance. I just want the stuff back because you don't have money to go and buy it again. And he doesn't have any use for it if it is sitting in his storage locker. They were not ill-treated. They made over $50,000 a year in pay. And they had a home. It may not have been the mansion on the hill, but it was a home free. I'm sorry. It's not fair. And I have to answer to the people who gave loan money for this project. That is a research and development farm. I'm not interested in growing an interim crop. I have to have you grow what you can live on. And we've wasted 3 years. And that means now, to meet the obligations, we've got buyers. You're having to ship spelt, for goodness sakes, from back east. And it's not plentiful. But we're going to make it. And we don't need Mr. Jackson. All we need to do now is get our product out there. It is expensive as hell to make these payments on these loans. $50,000 a month on interest payments. Now you can understand why EJ has a breakdown when we get toward the tail end of the month when the interest is due. You know, it sounds fine. Trade in some gold. Well, can't we borrow some more? I mean, let us just look at this. Yeah, gold goes up $5. And you're okay. Goes down $5 and you're in trouble. And you cannot get rid of very much of it because you cannot afford to face a call. And I want to go on record. My people didn't ask for this job. Acker did not ask for this job. They came out here to work with Westinghouse at one hell of a salary. All those wind machines out there for Mitsubishi were theirs. In a joint venture with SeaWest and Westinghouse. And they didn't need George Green to botch up their lives. And they certainly did not need me to come along and write 150 journals. And they don't need Rod Ince doing this to them. Because regardless of what you may think or not think, they feel responsible. EJ feels responsible for every penny. Every time a check has to be late to someone, he feels responsible. And others have done all they can, all I want them to do. Let's put it that way. You see, we do a big deal about the Institute while everybody and their cotton-picking little turkeys are trying to pull it down. They don't need it. And if there have been millions of dollars, as George Green says, and they took off, they're packed, you understand. This was his legal answer. It's sort of like Desiree lost her mother and father in the same week. He couldn't make up his mind which. Well, in order to get past Leon and the rest of you who were complaining that things aren't quite right, George, he calls Florida, and first of all, they were off. They were packed, leaving. People called here. Dale Sutton called here, TJ. And she made some little small talk because George had said they'd already gone to South America with all their money. And he had already told ones, Leon included. Well, you can check with Leon at some point. I am not dense. They may be, I'm not. I see everything that goes on. And so George told them that, well, they're packed and they're getting out of there and they've already put their money in the banks down in Peru. Then he told Leon that they were packed, ready to go to Chile. Well, for goodness sakes, if they had all the money he said, they should have. They certainly were idiots to stay here. But we don't quit. We are not going to quit. Is that clear to everybody? I don't care if we are sitting here, four or five or six of us. Everybody hear me. We are not going anywhere. We are not going to quit, and we are going to win. And if they want to talk about manipulating a court system, line up. I'm going to show you how. And we're going to start. We don't have to wait for Gene Dixon to get back here. We have to take control of our own selves. Or they will string us out and string us out and tell you all the while what nice guys you are. I'm not a nice guy anymore. People are going to stand. I am going to confront them. I am not out to hurt anybody, but I am not going to take it anymore. I'm mad as hell, and I will not take it anymore. We will try the best we can to protect you from these assaults. I cannot stop all of these pulse waves. I can do a pretty good job in this bubble. Beyond that, I cannot promise you anything. And the government is going to try its absolute level best to enslave you. And that's up to you. Our lives do not have to change very much from day to day. And the least trouble we borrow, the better off we are. But I'm through. I told you weeks ago, I'm through just letting all of this happen to us. I'm going to go on the offensive, and I may be very offensive while I do it. But you guys did not come here. Jeff doesn't know why hell he's here.
I talked to him that day.
But he's here. And the light comes on. Nobody comes and stays who just comes seeking a little bit of camaraderie. You can get that in the local church next door, and I wish some would, because some of them have wonderful programs, and it gets you to know the community. We have a job to do. We have many jobs to do. And we have to absolutely just make it to there. Let's take a break.
We're resuming after the break. Commander, you're the only one that has any volume. Rick, can you...
Well, we're back. And we need just a minute. There's so many subjects that we need to cover that I'm at a loss. There are some things that I want on this tape. I really feel that we sometimes, because of the tapes, overdue. But we have to work these things through. We don't have the privilege of being some church that meets every now and then or regularly. Most of the things that we have to handle are problems, at least to someone. And yet, I feel that if all you want is some game at, and I repeat, at spirituality, or you want to go and buck up your courage so that you have an assortment of things to choose from, and you can assume, well, God wouldn't do this, and you'll always find someone that will be with you and will say that, oh, you're right, God wouldn't do this. And this would come back, you know, the hosts of heaven, and God would not. You don't know what God would do. This is what's wrong. God is very explicit. Very explicit. You're birthed knowing the rules. If you have a soul, and that's one way you can guide your soul, you know. There is a level of knowingness that cannot ever be taken away. You can give into it. You can go against it. But there's only one way to get rid of it, and that is to breed it out. And that is through DNA replication, manufacture of bodies, and finally a depletion of soul. Or move the beings en masse into ignorance. This is why you end up with dark ages and primitive lifestyles. Because there comes a time when the species and the planet will be cleansed. Now, that doesn't sound like a nice God, does it, that will just say, hey, all of you are little buggers, and I'm just going to clean house. I'm sorry, but it's about that way. And we get, so intense on saving everybody. You have no right to go out there and save anybody except yourself. And if you've got the story right, you'll be working on yourself and you'll leave other people alone. And I know it offends Leon. I really know it does. And I do not say this to single him out. He has just expressed it more. This is a reflection of the teachings. Let us call them the New Age teachings. We are not New Age. We are entering an age which you consider new, but we are not New Age. New Age is worse than old age, and it will destroy you. Because, once again, you are allowing everything in this unconditional state. No, you can allow things that you don't approve of because it's not your business. But let me tell you, there is no thing in the universe more explicitly conditional than God. You are talking about merging into God. And if you can't even be civil to one another on the street, how do you think you're going to feel merged with them? Within God. Well, let me tell you a little secret. shouldn't be a secret, should be as open as all reason. When you merge with God means you have reached a state of perfection and you recognize the same conditions and accept no less. You accept no less. It doesn't mean you go out there singling people out and casting them out. But for your own level of tolerance and your own level of expectation and responsibility of self, you know better and you accept no less than the intent toward goodness. Now, does that mean that every time you open your mouth, you're going to pronounce nothing but overwhelming truth? No. And that's not what God's talking about. Truth is that foundation of beingness within according to the conditions of God. And it doesn't have anything to do with most of the Ten Commandments. Who do you think thought up the one about tithing and so forth and Sabbath?
A witch doctor.
Who decided that God created the world in 7 days and did that end on Friday or Monday? And how long were days? In our days, how long are our days? You see. So you have misinterpretation since the beginning of time, but there are some things that are absolute in the laws that if you ever expect to experience with God, the intent of soul is to express in that perfection. And that doesn't mean that while you're running around on the place of mortal flesh, that you're going to be pure. You're just not. But it does mean that the intent is open before God. And that means truth. And I'm not talking about, oh, well, I didn't eat 13 more calories than my program gave me. It would be nice if you just said, hey, yeah, I tried to stay on it and I didn't. I'm not talking about those silly kinds of little communication things that people do. But I'm talking about the things you hide in the darkest part and the secrets you keep. You are not keeping them from God. Let me warn you, and I will repeat it. You are not keeping them from God. And you can throw stones at the host. You can throw stones and kill the messengers. You can even get rid of the angels around you. Because they will depart when told to do so. And then you're on your own. I will depart when told to do so. And this makes people really mad. God's host wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, they would under the law and the order of universal proof. We are held to that, just as you should be. And you have no right to live for another. And lack of communication disallows you to live closely enough with one another as to be able to work out the differences. Nobody wants somebody identical to themselves, believe me. It sounds like it would be nice, but it would just be a bother, wouldn't it? And there would be nothing. And once all of you are totally enslaved, you have nothing. Because the bindings will come down so tightly, that doesn't mean they can enslave your soul. So don't fool yourself with a mark of the beast. That is something else to get you. Get you out there, sticking out there like that thumb. Beware of ones who will tell you, well, don't accept the mark of the beast. Well, what is it? Oh, well, it's the 666. What does that mean? Well, it's the pentagram. It's the, what does that mean? It's the barcode. What the hell does that mean? You can be the tattooed man of Borneo with all their things on you. You don't belong to them. You can get out there and say, oh, I do homage to you. Ooh, Mr. Clinton. God knows the difference. If you do that and you mean it, you're going to be nailed by God because you've lied. That's what we're talking about. And God is totally absolute in his love. No ifies. No, if you do that, I won't love you. He's just watching you grow and testing you to see where in the world you're going to go. So when you try to make some pious idiot out of God, you blunder badly. After all, you're dealing with the very one who created your enemy, who is the shrewdest entity ever created. And he's going to give you a run for your money every time. So you have to sharpen up. And if you think you've got conditions, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, I have conditions. I have to honor those. And I know that it's difficult. I get it every day. Well, why me? How did I get chosen? It doesn't matter a whit. You are it. So don't try to tell me, I'm not. I'm just going to observe this. No, you're not. You're going to get in or you're going to get out. Because now we're there. Well, what does it mean to be in? Well, you have to act honorably. But since we don't have any list to kick you off of, you're always welcome. But you see, most will not come back into my presence when they've crossed me. Not because of me. I would just welcome them back. But this is humanity. I must go, and I must get all these on my side. It's not the way God works. You just better be on his side, that's all. We have a job to do, but doesn't everybody? Shouldn't everybody have some kind of a job to do? And you'll know whether it's worthy or not. You'll know inside whether it's worthy or not. You don't have to go to a church house to have a preacher tell you. Unless all you do is go in there to get sanctified for your mistakes, you know. Go then to the Catholic Church and go in and confess your sins, if you can figure out what they are. And he'll wash you over with absolution, and you can go and say Hail Mary, full of grace, until you turn green. And it will not do one thing for you if your soul did not say, Dad, I'm sorry. Show me the way. Now, the next thing that we have to confront in this spiritual realm is that everybody wants to do their praying right. Well, now I understand I'm supposed to pray for my brother. And, yeah, I can pray for my brother, and if my brother's with me, I get it. That's not a bad idea. Let me tell you that Little Crow prays for Eckers first on his prayer list. He never prays for himself. But he's smart. He's one of the agents. He's the white eagle on the council. And he knows these people well enough that if he prays hard enough for them and they make it, he's got it. And they've proved it to him over and over again. All I've had to do is ask. All I, Hatton, have had to do is ask, could you? So pretty soon you get smart. I'll quit praying for myself. And then it'll work. And you know what it does. But you can't let go of this confounded, well, I'm falling short. Just help me. You're not ever going to stop that. And there are no atheists in those foxholes. I'm telling you, there are none. Zero. Zilch. If they're souled human beings. Unfortunately, souls have been bred out of the species to the extent that you might very well have somebody in there who doesn't give a damn. But the intentioned, soul-bearing species of humankind will then come and pray to God, please, Father, you'll always say, I know that you know what my needs are. And all I can ask is that I'm not wise enough. So, in your higher wisdom, please. It's okay with me. Whatever you decide to do, I'll make do with it. I'd rather have than not have, if you don't mind. But there's something higher still. You can demand of God, look, I've served. I don't know what else to do, sir. You know what we need. And I know that you have gifted us with all that is needed to get it. As long as I am living to the very best of my ability in your service, please provide whatever it is that we need to keep going. Now what happens is you get singled out on something. John did. I just want my car. They're trying to get all my stuff. Until you can get beyond it, you're centered on it. So the next thing is, well, sir, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Christ, in the name of Buddha, in the name of Farrakhan, in the name of Turkey Doo. But when you say, Father, thy will, I know that you know my needs, and I'm asking you to please let me serve according to thy will. Oh, you're going to get an answer, and it's going to come back to you. And I wonder, every one of you can go within and say, I didn't wait quite long enough. Or you'll miss it when it comes. You won't recognize it, because it will rarely be what it is you think you want. And if you think denial of self is it, wrong. That means that you simply don't think enough of yourself to demand. If you have earned something, you can't expect it to be returned. And when you confide and you trust in another, you can expect them to do their job.